I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all know me, back where the girls all bow.
This is the North Carolina Theater Story Show. I'm your host, Lynn Pryor. James Johnson is our technical director. We're coming to you from the 100-year-old house, former home of the Gilbert Theater, here in historic Haymont in Fayetteville, North Carolina. This is show number 8. Our guest today is the lovely and talented Joyce Leip. Joyce has entertained, no, let me say, thrilled audiences in our region for years and years. She's an actress of extraordinary range, versatility, and compassion. Joyce, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. Now, Joyce, we were just listening to that wonderful Cole Porter song, Longing to Be on Old Broadway. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking each of my guests to just kind of imagine what it would be like if you could snap your fingers and be up there and do anything you'd like to do, direct, act, whatever. What would you do?
I would like to be 35 and starring in MAME.
35.
Yes, I'd like to be 35 and in MAME. Possibly 40.
40, I see.
Yeah.
Well, you did do it here, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
In the provinces?
I was 45 at that time.
Well, I think, I wish I'd been here at the time. So there it is, MAME. But you did get to do it, even if it wasn't on the Great White Way. Now, Joyce, you see a red box in front of you.
Yes, I do.
And in that box, you are going to, in a minute, you're going to open that box, and you're going to look in there, and you're going to take out whatever it is you find in there. It might be a coin, it might be a rock, it might be anything. You're going to take them out. In this case, it's two things. And you are going to, just first of all, describe it to our listening audience, what it is, very briefly. 1 week we had someone that took about 5 minutes to, I was too late, could not correct them. Anyway, briefly to describe it. Then you are going to tell a story about it, made up or true or a combination. Now, we all know what an excellent actress you are, but we've all wondered, how is Joyce Leip with improv? Mm-hmm. We're about to find out. Joyce, please open that box.
Oh, well, here are two figurines in porcelain, a boy and a girl, and they both have tennis rackets. Well, this boy and girl almost look like sister and brother, but they're not, and they are very competitive, even though they have sweet little smiles on their faces. And this took place sometime in the late 30s, that they had made themselves all the way to Wimbledon. And they were doing very well when the young man missed
Grand Slam,
and was eliminated, which sent the girl up to the very top and became the world-class winner. Well, this young man became very, very angry, and kind of similar to what happened in our Winter Olympics when the girl broke the other girl's legs. He came at her and broke her right arm. But she was a left-handed tennis player. And so she went on to great success for many years. And he was shunned from the whole tennis scene forever and ever. So it just goes to show you, you know, hurting somebody else never.
Or find out whether they're left-handed.
Well, that's
Joyce, very
thing.
Good. I want to applaud, and we have our audience over there is applauding.
Oh,
very, very nice.
Thank you.
And,
thank you.
So thank you. Well, that proves once and for all that you can do improv as well. Now, Joyce, I hear that you are, even though many of the theaters are dark this summer, aren't they? You know, did you realize that there are 10 performing spaces in our city?
Really?
Yes, there are.
Wow.
And I'll give that list later in the program. But there are. And they are all dark. I think I'm correct on this. Because we know Fayetteville Tech at Cumberland Hall just closed that wonderful, wonderful water engine, which James was absolutely superb. And I'm so glad I saw it. It was marvelous. I'm going to talk more about it later. But that is now dark. It ended on Sunday. So I think most of our spaces are dark, and except for the Gilbert, evidently.
Yes.
And what is happening there?
Well, we're putting on the first of, hopefully, this will happen every summer, a week of one acts. Not by any famous playwrights. These are all either local playwrights or those that were sent in and chosen to be the best of what they received. And this will take place in 1 week. And the nice part of it is the patron of the arts buys one ticket and can see all the plays any number of times they want to see them with that one ticket for the entire week.
I see. And you're in one of them.
I am in two of them.
Two?
Yes.
The Tin Church. Can you briefly tell us about the Tin Church?
Well, the Tin Church, there is one written by our local artistic director, Robin Parrish. And it's a little bit of a autobiography, perhaps. I'm not positive about that, but I think I played the mother, and she said, oh, yes, you're just like my mother. And the other one is called Cold But Soft, and you've just got to come see that, because I can't tell you a thing about it.
How intriguing.
Yes, yes.
So, we're going to get dates and times later in the program.
Okay.
So we'll let that hold right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that sounds very, very intriguing. Now, Joyce, you have devoted your life in many ways to theater. Can we kind of get a timeline, an overview of you, Joyce Leip, in the theater world?
Yes. When I thought about this, I suddenly remembered that when I was in eighth grade, and we would have to stay in on a rainy day, I was an avid fan of your show of shows with Sid Caesar, Imogene Coca. Love that. Just love that
wonderful
comedy. And most of what I saw, I'm showing my age, that's okay, on television, on the old black and white television, was vaudeville. And so these old vaudeville acts were really very, very funny. And so I developed a little skit, and I would perform for the lower grades, and my teachers just loved it. And I went home, and I took all my little, at the time we were wearing little scarves around our necks, and I took all my little silk scarves, tied them together, stuffed them up my sleeve, and did something where I was crying. So I took it out, and, you know, and there was another and another, and all the old little kids were just hysterical. When I was in high school, I went with a couple of other singers from our choir to the Met in New York. That was the old Met before they tore it down. And I auditioned, and I had 4 callbacks, but I was already signed up for a career in nursing. And I didn't think I could do both. And that is one thing in my life I regret. I should have just gone for the summer program, and who knows what would have happened.
Yes.
But ever since that time, then I went into nurses training, where you don't do anything else except study. And then I was married to Chuck, my darling husband, Air Force pilot, and wherever we went, there were always little theater groups. And so I always went and auditioned and got parts in that, carried my babies with me, and eventually arrived here in Fayetteville. And it was just fantastic. There was Fort Bragg Playhouse. I don't know how many shows I did out there. The Mikado, The King and I, Sound of Music, twice I played Mother Abbess. Oliver. It just going on and on. And then I also auditioned for Cape Fear, And then you came along and opened the Gilbert. And so I have been active in theater since 19, here in town, 67.
67. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the Fort Bragg Playhouse, I came in just as that was about to close. Mm-hmm. I was there for the final performance. I believe it was Kismet. Mm-hmm. Then it closed down. So that it was a very sad day for the community. It had the army behind it, big budget. And
it did up until that time, until the general said, take it down.
Take it down. So it was, well,
won't
say any minute anymore. Now, do you remember what your first play at the Gilbert was?
Yes, you asked me to take part in a evening of one acts. And I did a monologue from Quilters.
Quilters.
And that was my first. And then I think that was followed with Spoon River Anthology.
Oh.
Also one of my absolute favorite shows I've ever done.
Well, it was one of my, people frequently ask me, out of the 100 plays that was under my aegis, did I have any favorites? And that would be one of the top ones. It was just superb. And do people realize that the first 8 years, when we just completed our 21st year of the Gilbert, the first 8 years were downstairs in this very house on that 11.5 by 13 stage, mm-hmm. seating 40 people, very, very cramped. And I had to warn people not to put their feet on the stage. But the work that we did there was, opening night, 21 years ago, before the play began, it was a potpourri. We had Matt Bullock from North Carolina School of the Arts, mm-hmm. was the director, and it was something from Chekhov. It was this, it was that. One of them was Carmen Miranda number. It was two girls, and they were dressed with these Tutti Frutti hats and all that. But the piano was off the stage. And so they had to leave the stage and stand by it and do their number, doing all these kinds of things that Carmen Red used to do. But there was no lighting in those days. In fact, our lighting was it was just track lighting. It was very, very primitive. And the person that was running the light board, I gave them a piece of cardboard, and I said, cut this out, and then when you just push it down like this, certain of the lights will stay on, others will go down. That's how primitive it was. But we had no lighting out in the audience. And so I put flashlights under about a dozen chairs. And I, before the show began, I said, if you look down under your chair and see a flashlight, when you see these girls leaving the stage to do their Carmen Miranda number, please quickly take it out, turn it on, and follow them with your flashlight, the light from your flashlight. Just follow them over to the piano, and that was our lighting for that opening night. But that opening night, this is your story. Here I am talking, but we got started, so here we go.
Right.
I held up a little tiny flag, about a 2-inch square flag of the United States. And I said, since I've come to this town, I have never seen such large flags in my life. Some of them, if you were to get whiplash, you'd be killed, you'd lose your eyes or something. These flags flying, they're huge. It's to this day, you'll see some of them. And I said, you know what? This flag has the same meaning as that huge one. It has the same impact on us, it should, about the stars and the stripes and what it stands for in American history and what it stands for now. And we think about our wonderful country. I said, here we are on a stage that is 11.5 by 13. We have all been in theaters where they have these huge stages and fly space. I said, that doesn't matter, does it? This stage has the same potential as a huge stage, mm-hmm. with all kinds of accoutrement. And I like to think we have proved that.
Oh, indeed.
Again and again. And you've been part of so many of those. So you really enjoyed Spoon River.
Yes, and then Keeley and Due was my next one. That was really a challenge to me. I had not been on stage for about 15 years at that point. Because the last one I did at Cape Fear, I believe, was Me and My Girl. And then I got a new job, and it was very demanding, and I just did not have the time or the energy to perform.
Well, tell them briefly the plot of Keeley and Do.
Oh, Keeley and Do. It was so perfect on that stage because I played a nurse in kind of what I would call a do-gooder kind of organization, where actually kidnapped young women from...
who were pregnant.
Yes, and going to have an abortion. They were in the abortion clinic or in the waiting room or going in. We took them away. We, I say, the preacher man and myself, and chained her to a bed in a basement.
In a basement. So this is the basement in a basement.
Yes, and I think it really made the whole play very effective to actually be in the basement.
Right, yes, with the bars and the window
yes,
and all that.
Yes,
now, you were superb. Rhonda Brocchi, superb.
Oh, yes, yes.
So after that, what else? You mentioned talking, Alan Bennett's wonderful.
Oh, yes. Now, Alan Bennett, with his... He just has the most wonderful way of putting these little short monologues together with so much meaning and so much drama or comedy. But I don't think we performed any of those there. I think they were all...
At the Arts Council.
At the Arts Council.
Grand Gallery.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Now, a quick story about that. There was in that first one we did, there were six monologues, each one 30 minutes long.
Yes.
And somebody said, are you going to do them all? I said, yes, of course. Well, it shows that I failed arithmetic. We ended up with a six monologues, 30 minutes each. We had a 3-hour show, and people were appalled that when I told them, I said, we're doing them all. And but you know, they were so well done. But yours and others, James
was there, Rhonda
was there, and Nancy Roach. So just superb actors, superb material, superb acting, wonderful space. And 3 hours later, people were walking out of there. And I had people saying to me that it could have gone on as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, yes.
So what else?
Those were wonderful. And then
what about Peggy for
Peggy
You?
For You
Peggy
was for also you. At the Arts Council, yeah. And that was fun.
Well, that was a true story, I think, based on a woman who was an agent for playwrights.
In England.
In England.
Yes, yes. And James Dean was one of my stars. And what I wanted them to do was to be devoted to me. I'm speaking for Peggy. And didn't want anyone getting married because that would distract from their work and also from me. And James and I really had a most wonderful scene of an argument. I just love that every night, too.
Yeah.
If you've never been on stage, you can't imagine how thrilling it is to be on stage with an actor that you can really get into something with and trust them that they are going to be there for you.
Yes.
And we loved that scene. It got better every night. Mm-hmm. That was great. I got to smoke marijuana. Of course, it was actually basil and oregano, I think, that they rolled
These
up
days,
in a cigarette.
We wouldn't need to worry about
I know,
that.
I know. And that was done right there on the stage, and I lit up, I remember, and and it gave kind of an aroma to the audience that it certainly wasn't tobacco. It was something else. Yeah. That was fun.
Well, that was a marvelous show.
Yeah, that was great. And I wore a red wig. Or no, I didn't either. I dyed my hair red.
Ah.
Because that was during Lent, and my husband came into church, and I waved to him, and he waved back like, who's that red-headed woman? And he didn't recognize me, and he didn't sit with me. I've been coming home every day with red hair. That was so funny.
Well, I think that speaks to what your ability as an actress. We're going to talk about more of that later, about your ability to absolutely fool people and be completely different in every play you are in. What else?
Oh, let's see. Then we move down, I believe,
to the present,
to the upstairs.
Old City
yes,
Hall.
Yes. That has been
Bow Street.
A tremendous experience. Oh my goodness! Where do I begin? I did Christmas Carol for 6 seasons as the narrator, and I loved that.
You were marvelous.
That was just grand. Oh, golly.
Yeah.
Every evening was different, and it was just wonderful. Oh, you're going to have to help me, Lynn, to remember what all I've done down there.
Well, in cabaret.
Oh, the musical of musicals, the musical.
Musical of musicals, yes.
Oh, yes. I played a German woman whose husband sends her out into the street to sell herself. That was a great one. And then I was also the woman in that made the pies out of the victims
Sweeney Todd.
Musical and musicals took four or five of our favorite musicals and twisted it to the point where we were doubled up with laughter, but also wondering how could this have happened to our favorites. Well, Joyce, it has been one triumph after another.
Oh, grand.
And now you're in these plays coming up this summer.
This is going to be another new experience. That's what I love about the theater here.
Well,
everything is new.
It just goes. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that I was in my first play in third grade. It was A Christmas Carol, and I was Fezziwig.
Oh, yes.
And I can remember the line to this day. Oh, 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 let's have a dance before a man can play Jack Robinson. I hope it was delivered better than that. But that was my debut, and it's been downhill ever since. Joyce, now I think, thank you for that. That was marvelous reminiscing with you. Now we always ask my guests, to share a monologue or a sonnet or something. And you've chosen a monologue from
Quilters, a musical.
Which you were in years ago.
Yes, I was, and had the good fortune of being named Best Actress in the North Carolina Theater Competition. That
Wonderful.
Was very exciting, yes. Very exciting for me. Yes, this is a story of, actually, they're excerpts out of the Library of Congress of all these people who were interviewed during the Depression when the government paid our writers and artists, gave them jobs so that they were not starving, and they went down to the South and out West, and they interviewed all these various people. These were really pioneer women, or the descendants of pioneer women, who had lived in dugouts and had absolutely nothing, but they made quilts. And the quilts were the beauty spot of their lives. And they told their stories. As one of the lines said, when you take a piece out of the piece bag, it's somebody's clothing of some kind, and you sew it together, and there's a thread of somebody's life running through the quilt. I always loved that. But the monologue I'm going to do is just a short one about a woman who is married in Virginia, and then her husband wants to work he wants to get out west as soon as he can, takes a job working on the new railroad going into New Mexico. And that's where this starts. I stayed home with the stock and the kids. I wanted to make them something nice, so I started a quilt. It took me 2 years to finish it. I was always hiding it before I came in the door. Gave it to my eldest Elizabeth to give it to him the day it was done. And he took that quilt, and he studied it, and he studied it till I thought something wrong with it. And then he took that quilt, wrapped it around me, picked me up, and sashayed me all around the kitchen. Both of us laughing to beat the band. Oh, he was some kind of man. The following spring, I was working on a quilt for the baby that was due, and I heard horses coming hard. I stepped out on the front porch. I saw five men come racing across the yard, sweating and shouting over each other's words. They had a big bushel basket. Slim Henson thought maybe he tripped and hit his head on the rail, but Jim Brown thought maybe the heat got to him. But nobody could tell me why he didn't hear the train. They had to bring him home in that bushel basket. I never did get a clear answer out of anyone. But they told me I didn't cry or say a word. I just sat down on the top step there on the porch and rocked instead. Rocked instead. I guess it was my mama that put the piece back down in front of me. Needle, thread, scissors. I didn't know what it was for. And then one day my hands reached in. My hands remembered. I sewed one piece to another and another, never laid a cotton edge on any of it. And 5 months later, the quilt was finished and the baby was born. And my eyes came clear again.
I need Kleenex.
Yes, it was a wonderful, wonderful show.
You just illustrated why you're the best. Thank you, Joyce. Now,
do I need to pause it?
No, don't. Now, okay, now I'm going to be contacting, thank you for the Kleenex, Mary. I'm going to be contacting St. Genesius with our, every week, Joyce, we contact her for some reason or another. And here is my prayer to her this week. Dear St. Genesius, for listeners who are just tuning in for the first time, is the patron saint for acting, for actors, for theater in general. Dear St. Genesius, our hearts are full of gratitude to you and to our fellow actor, Joyce Leib. Through your steady guidance, she has achieved splendid heights of artistic excellence in numerous plays and musicals in our world. We treasure her and offer our thanks to you once more. As ever, your faithful followers.
Thank you for that so very, very much.
Now, we move from that to something absolutely ridiculous, and that is our our game. James is telling me, I can't believe you're doing this again. He felt that we did it a few weeks ago, that it was not the most successful thing, but we're going to, James, for your information, it's going to be better. And your constant criticism of me forces me to want to call your mother. I'm sorry it's a threat, but I'm just going to do it one of these times. Anyway, it's musical. It's musical. All of them are musical characters. It's musical charades, Joyce.
All right.
And I'm going to start with number one, and I don't step away from the microphone. In just a moment, I'm going to step away from the microphone, and there are 10 of them. And you remember the rules.
Yes, I think I do.
And good. And then James is going to be kind of I'm going to pantomime something, and James is going to do his best to help articulate what I'm doing so the audience will know. Otherwise, charades on... Oh, I know it's ridiculous, but we're doing it. And I don't want to be criticized for it because I think it's going to eventually work, and perhaps even tonight, if everybody does their job right.
Oh, all right. It was my fault.
Well, I'm not saying whose fault it was last time. All right. anyway, so we're going to start with number one.
All right. First one. First word.
First word.
One syllable.
One word.
First word.
This is already...
Okay.
Let's
review the rules. Okay, now I'm going to tell you how many words are in the title by this.
One.
So there's one word in the title.
Right.
In the title, right.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, there's only one word, period.
It's a two-word title.
Okay.
It's a three-word title.
Okay.
Okay. And this number one has
one word only,
which has
two syllables. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do the whole thing. Quilters.
Hey, Linda's acting like
okay. Quilters. That was a hard one.
She got that first one right. The quilters.
All right.
Really quickly.
Four words.
Four words.
First word is two syllables.
Lin is dribbling something. He's patting something. He's holding.
He's young. He's a young man. He's a child. A boy. Second word is two syllables. Me, girl, woman. Woman. Okay.
First is...
Second word
two finger,
is...
Two second word.
Is woman.
He's pointing at choice.
The second word is women.
Women.
We repeat like that. Okay.
Okay. First word. Something short.
A little girl.
He pointed at her as if to indicate...
Young women? Young boy? No, girl?
He's aspirated. He's about to clap.
Something and women. Oh, little women, of course.
Okay.
Number three.
Four words.
First word, little.
The.
It's a small word.
We got it. The.
It's the. Okay.
Second word is. Sounds like.
Sounds like. Lynn's.
Ear?
Sounds like forehead. I don't know.
Third word. Little word. A. And of the okay. hmm of hmm the
okay.
the a fourth word
fourth
is
word.
One
two
to
syllables.
Three.
Lynn is acting like he's playing a violin.
Opera.
He's
piano concert. Concerto. Symphony.
He's playing a violin.
Strings.
Violin.
Thus,
I think Mary has a guess, but she's trying to prevent herself from
saying it. The something of...
Now Mary is getting involved. She's rowing.
Carmen?
And,
no.
Okay, now she's...
Just review the words you have.
Okay. The something of...
The sound of...
Music!
Okay.
I was thinking Merchant of Venice. I'm sorry.
That's what you were doing.
It's
you
not
were
a musical, is it?
All right. Moving on
okay.
to the next one.
Okay. Fourth. This is the fourth one now, right? Okay.
Yeah, I believe
okay.
so.
Okay.
And it's
one
only
word.
Three syllables.
Avita. It's a cowboy on a horse. He's loping along, riding.
Lynn's acting like he's got his fist out in front of him, and he's drinking while he's riding.
Okay, he's riding. You're riding.
Lynn might be holding on to something.
Aren't you riding a horse?
He's trying to get the fly that went by him.
All right, it's four words. No, it's one word, and it's a musical, and so...
Okay, Lynn is continuing to do the riding thing. He's got his hand in front of him.
Okay, let's get that. It's carousel. I was on a carousel.
Okay.
That was Joyce's first
okay.
failure of the evening.
Now, is this the fifth one we're on? And it's one yes. word.
One word.
And three syllables.
Three syllables.
And this is the whole thing.
Now Lynn is acting like he's begging for something.
It's all about the revolution. I can't think of the word.
This is
the French Revolution. The French Revolution. No, it's not.
Lynn is shaking his head.
Oh,
now Lynn
is begging.
He's begging. Lynn is pointing inside of his mouth.
Hungry.
He's trying to eat food.
Pleasing. Pleading.
Okay, Oliver.
Oh, Oliver. Oh.
Okay, here, the next one.
One word. Two syllables. Hair. Hairspray.
Hairspray. All right.
Four words. Okay. First word is a little word, the.
That is gesturing towards himself.
Second word is...
That is acting as if he's got a crown or something on his head. He's holding something above his head.
The.
He's marching.
The king and I.
Okay. There we go.
Good.
Okay. Three words for this. First word. Kiss.
Kissing his own hand.
Okay. Kismet.
Okay.
No. Okay.
Second word.
Kiss.
Second word.
Is
small.
The. An. A. Kiss of me. Mm-hmm. Kiss mm-hmm. me.
Okay.
Kiss me. Kate.
Okay.
Kiss me, Kate. Okay. All right. The next one.
One more.
Two words. Okay. First word is. Little.
Okay.
Lynn is behaving as if he's got a bad posture.
Old.
Yeah.
Older.
He's gesturing.
Past. The baby.
He's acting like he's holding a baby.
Second word.
Okay.
Three syllables.
Lynn's marching. He's.
Dracula?
He's got both hands out like a monster of some sort. He's pointing at two.
Oh, it's Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein.
Okay, now he's going back to the first word.
The small. No.
He's acting as if something is lower than him. He's patting it on the head.
And it's a musical.
He's acting like he's holding a baby. He's behaving like a monster again.
It's Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein.
My guess is Joyce doesn't heard of this show.
The young Frankenstein.
There we go.
Frankenstein.
Oh my gosh. We may never do this again. You did very, how well did she do, James?
Not very.
Well, it looks like she only got two wrong.
Right, she did eight right. So you do get your special surprise, Joyce. It's called Novel Destinations, Literary Landmarks from Jane Austen's Bath to Ernest Hemingway's Key West.
Thank you so much. I look forward to this.
Thank you. I kind of regret giving it up, but I'm doing it anyway.
Well, I'll bring it back when I'm finished, I promise.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I will.
All right,
will.
Thank you. Yes. Now we're going to do our book sharing portion of our show. Moving right along, and not a minute too soon from the quiz.
Anyway. I hope you all enjoyed playing along at home.
I hope we didn't lose any of our 10 radio listeners to that quiz. Okay, now Joyce, you're going to share your book first. What is it?
It is Acting Solo by Jordan R. Young, an introduction by Julie Harris. And I was really taken by her introduction on acting solo, where she says she was fortunate to work with Charles Nelson Reilly when she first did a one-person show. She said, I was already in love with the material, the poems and letters of Emily Dickinson, and that was the magic ingredient for me, to be in love with your subject. And so when she did the Emily Dickinson solo, Belle of Amherst, she was in love with Emily Dickinson and all that she wrote.
Yes.
And I couldn't help but think that when I did Sarah in Quilters, I was in love with that woman. And those words have stayed with me ever since. They're always there.
Yes.
I could pass someone on the street and I could do it. That's all. It's always there. And that was 1989 that we performed that show. So I just thought that was very interesting. And then the writer of the book himself quotes a Joseph Wood Crutch, who wrote for The Nation, as a critic, complaining that the shows in the 50s were getting smaller and smaller until if there were two people on stage, we would think it positively cluttered. And he could see the day when there would be no actors, no text, no audience, just scenery and critics. Well, thank goodness it hasn't come to that.
Well, Joyce, yes. Haven't we done some wonderful, in our 21 years, some wonderful solo
Alan Bennett.
His work, but the Gertrude Stein.
Yes.
It was a marvelous evening, the one with the communist, wonderful Fenton.
Oh, yes. And then
Karl Marx.
That's right.
Sorry.
And the Belle of Amherst.
The Belle of Amherst.
Jane Moran. So beautifully.
So I love one woman shows. I love a group of monologues. Now, thank you for sharing that. And I noticed that it's from the Gilbert Library.
Yes,
and you've had this for 2 years.
Yes.
I think you're about to be arrested.
I know.
For overdue fines.
Yes.
But I know you'll get this back there sooner or later.
I will.
I'm very proud of the Gilbert Library. Hundreds and hundreds of books.
Absolutely fantastic.
But my book that I'm sharing is Judi Dench's autobiography, and it's called And Furthermore. I love that title.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She takes you from her early days. She was born 80 years ago. She just had a recent birthday, 80. She's 80 mm-hmm. years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll be 81 December 9th. I looked it up. And she's one of my all-time favorite actresses. So she was born in 1934. It's a year that's very dear to my heart. And she begins there with her childhood and then takes us through her early years, which you were, I have a similar timeline of what you were talking about, all through her work at the Royal Shakespeare and her work on television and film. And it's just an extraordinary life. And, you know, she says you need to take the craft of acting seriously, but not yourself.
How true.
And I think that is, then you can keep things in perspective and not let the ego be dictating things to you that are not good for you or good for theater in general. Then at the very end of her book, she has here a little section, questions that are what every young actor needs to know. These are answers to questions I've been asked over the years. Now listen to this first one. Number one, What is the first advice you would offer to a young prospective actor? That's the question from a student she's had in the past. And this is her answer. If you have any leanings toward anything else at all, then acting is probably not for you. It must be the one and only thing that you want to do. It is very competitive, and the best actors are not always the ones who are employed. May I just, kind of as an aside, one of our absolutely premier actors in the Gilbert life has been Sonny Kelly.
Oh my, yes.
And there is a talent that could have been. I'd hope to get him on our show one day. I hear that he's going up to Chapel Hill to work on his doctorate.
Mm.
He is superb talent. He could go on and on. I just want to say that he is somebody that could have been on Broadway. We talk about longing to be over Broadway. You could have been, and certainly Sonny Kelly is one of those too. But enough about that. We'll talk more about that man when he gets here at the microphone sometime mm-hmm. after, I hope, during his time off from working on his doctorate. Now, let's go to the mailbox. Now, our mailbox today, Joyce, when people heard that you were going to be on the show, I heard from some of your some of your actors, fellow actors. The first one, and I'm going to read what this person has to say first of all, and then give you what this person has to say. So our mailbox, I'm glad to say, James, is not full of pithy, unpleasant criticism of the show. Tonight it is in tribute to our guest. And this is what this co-actor, someone who worked with you before. She has a theatrical spirit that shines through when you are in her presence. And you just know she is a living, breathing piece of art.
Oh my goodness.
And that is from Anthony Morrison. And you were with him years and years ago.
Years ago. Yes.
But
oh,
I
my
saw
goodness.
Him recently and told him you were going to be on the show, and that's what he wanted me to say to you. I just wish his handwriting were better. Now, here's somebody else. I'm not going to tell you who it is until we're finished. You probably will guess because of the nature of the what's said, but I hope that you are. I know you are up to the spirit of this. I remember, this is from this one, it's somebody that you were in a show with, or at least one. I remember one day during the rehearsals of Keeley and Dew, Joyce shocked us all with a string of the dirtiest jokes. The lovely thing was that somehow, coming from her, they were made quite respectable. But they were still dirty. And then this then this goes on, the same person goes on. Another time was during Talking Heads 2. Joyce is so good at her craft that folks kept telling me how sad they were about how Joyce had aged and deteriorated since last they had seen her. I assured them that it was the character she was playing that was deteriorating. deteriorated. Not Joyce. Good actress. And that's from Marcella Casals.
Oh, my goodness. Marcella
Casals had that. She sent that to us via the cloud, I guess, from Buenos Aires.
Is that where she is?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, my.
She had to leave the States because of her behavior.
She's visiting her mom and dad.
So anyway, but no, Joyce, no, this is true. And this was our guest last week was James Dean. And we were recalling a play that he did 15 years ago down in the basement of the Arts Council building. It was called Visiting Mr. Green. He was in his early 50s, played the part of a man who was in his mid 70s. And it was so convincing as I thought back on it. You just thought of him as being this old, old man. And so, yes, so acting requires that, but then it's what you do with the lines, with the story. And so, yes, you looked old and all of that, but what you did with the story and your part in the play is what, you know, that's what's most important. Then we have this other piece of mail, Joyce has always impressed me with her grace and elegance. She always brought that elegance to the stage in all her roles. My favorite role that I saw her in was Keeley and Dew. My favorite that we performed together would be The Club.
Oh my! I love The Club.
I would love to hear what her most memorable role was. Plus, I love to hear her laugh. I always loved her laugh. This is from Mimi Carter.
Oh, Mimi.
In Bangkok, Thailand. Oh. Some of our leading theater people have had to hot-foot it out of the States. They're writing us anonymously from these various locations around
Mimi.
The planet. So, yes, so, yeah. Who can forget The Club?
Oh, my.
That was here in the garden.
Yes, indeed. In July, I think, or something.
You were all women cast, and you were dressed, playing the parts of men in wool tuxedos.
Yes, tails.
Tails. In a man's Gentlemen's Club.
Yes. And yes. It was, and we had to smoke cigars at
cigars.
One point.
It was superb. You were everyone. I mean, the list just goes on and on.
And then I had to take my male mustache and goatee off and turn to the audience at the very end as a woman. And in order to make the mustache and the goatee stick to my skin, I had to put on roll-on deodorant, and then I put on the glue, and then I put on the mustache and the goatee. But then to rip it off, I had little sores my face.
Well, that's what
but
it's
that's
all
theater.
Of, that's theater.
We give it our all, don't we, though?
We certainly do. Now, Joyce, you see me. I hope you're not breaking into a cold sweat, but I picked up the stopwatch. We've started this fairly recently, where I'm giving our victims, I mean Gus, 60 seconds to tell how you would change theater in Cumberland County. Now, we were talking earlier, and you were saying that you're going to kind of modify your 60 seconds because you feel things used to be not so good, but have changed over the years. Joyce, are you ready? I'm pressing it now. Start.
All right. I would like to say that years ago, my husband and I arrived in Fayetteville in 67, and I performed both at Fort Bragg and at Cape Fear. I don't think there were any other theaters at that point, but eventually a colonel from Fort Bragg formed the Bordeaux Dinner Theater at the Bordeaux Motor Inn. And there was a director in town that apparently was very jealous of that theater because it was doing very well, and said to my son's drama class in high school that dinner theater was not theater. That's why the word dinner came first. At the time, I was performing in Maine and drawing great crowds and even stopped. Oh my, this was like being a star. I was stopped in the mall when people would come up and say, "Oh my goodness, you play Maine, don't you? Oh my goodness." Anyway, that was a difficult time. But then we have new directors in town and I see a whole new approach to theater, and it's wonderful. I don't feel that competition. I feel that all the auditions are open for anybody who wants to audition, and I like that.
Thank you. All right. Well, that was just right, Jace. Thank you so much for that. Now let's go to.
You know, I didn't really want to say. I wanted to say a little more.
Oh,
it right, didn't just include you. When I said we have new directors in town, I didn't mean take it that way.
Well, no, I didn't. As it turns out, I was that thoughtless director.
You were not.
No, I was not. I was. No. Anyway, now let's go to birthdays. These are celebrated people who are having a birthday this week. Lena Horne, what a fabulous performer she was. Actress, singer, born this day in 1917. Approaching her centennial, isn't she? Twyla Thorpe, choreographer, 1941 was her birthday. Tom Stoppard, playwright, born on this day in 1937. Neil Simon, playwright, born on this day in 1937.
So he is 78.
We're not the only ones, Joyce, who are chalking.
Can I tell you a little bit about Neil Simon?
Surely.
Chuck and I had gone up to Page Auditorium at Duke. They were giving a pre-Broadway performance of Laughter on the 29th Floor. And as we watched, we had no idea what this was about. We knew it was a Neil Simon comedy, and we liked Neil Simon, so we went. And about halfway through the first act, I realized it's all about Sid Caesar and your show of shows. And Neil Simon, at the age of 18, was one of the writers for that show. Shows how talented he was.
Oh my.
18, and he's writing for television. Well, intermission comes, and there were two gentlemen sitting behind us. One of them had like a little windbreaker on. The other one was just in a, you know, a little coat of some kind. Very casual. Khakis. And I noticed people were bringing their programs over to this man behind me, and he was signing them. And I thought, I looked at him, and I was blah, blah, blah with him and this other man. We were enjoying the show and the Jewish humor, you know. And I was saying, now, I don't know how this is going to go over with Southern audiences because they don't get that Brooklyn comedy.
Yeah.
It turned out to be Neil Simon.
Oh, my God.
And his business manager. Because the business manager said, boy, I'd like to take you and your husband up to New York and sit you in the audience every night. You're really enjoying this. And it never went any further. It never made it to Broadway.
Well, isn't it thrilling to meet people like
yes.
that through the years? Now, let's talk about Call Board. Now, James, you're going to...
Yes.
Talk to us about these wonderful short plays at the Gilbert Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Joyce and our frequent audience member, Mary McGee, will both be participating in the Gilbert's next day at each play festival that is happening July 22nd through 26th. Exact dates are on Wednesday, July 22nd at 7 p.m. The theater will be doing Cold But Soft, Tim Church, which both of those Joyce is in.
Yes.
Miller's Point.
And
Mary is in both of those as well.
Because I prayed that one day I could do something with Joyce.
Well, St. Genesius is answering prayers right and left.
Oh, man.
Then on Thursday, July 23rd, 2 p.m., Miller's Point, Tin Church, Styx. And then at 7 p.m. that same day, Cold But Soft, Tim Church, Miller's Point. Then on Friday, July 24th, 7 p.m., Tin Church. Man, they're doing that one a lot. Mentor. And then on Saturday, July 25th, 2 p.m., Styx, Sweet Storm, 7 p.m. that same day, Cold But Soft, Mentor. Sunday, July 26th, 2 p.m., Cold But Soft, Mentor. 7 p.m. that same day, Styx and Sweet Storm. So, wow, that is a jam-packed week of theater.
Just marvelous. And you were reminding us, Joyce, that one admission.
Yes, you buy one ticket and you can see any show you want to as many times as you want to that week.
All week long.
And I believe if you count them, every show is done four times.
I see. Mm-hmm. Well,
And these are all written by local playwrights, I believe?
Yes, they are. And unknowns. Uh-huh.
And they feature some of our area's best actors. They're using Gilbert repertory players.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bright spot in our otherwise rather dark summer offerings in this town. Because, you know, there are 12 performing spaces, play spaces in this town, Joyce.
I just cannot get over
and,
that.
12. So, anyway, I would list them, but time moves along here.
Yes.
But we're so glad for those happening. Now, it's time for me to say thank you so much for being our guest.
And such a pleasure to be here, Lynn.
Well, it's just...
I could talk about theater for hours,
well,
as you know.
Well, and I will certainly want you back sometime in the near future to do just that. We thank you, and we thank Mary for being handing us the Kleenex during the Quilters monologue, and James for doing a fair job during the quiz show. Anyway, this is Lynn Pryor asking James to dim the lights and go to black. Well, I urge you all to find a play to see this week. So until next Thursday, thank you for your company. Before we sign off, Joyce, I'm asking you a question. What is the universal question? What is the universal question? And I'm not asking you for an answer. I have the answer to that, and I'm going to be giving it sometime in the future. So stay tuned. Thank you, and thank you for listening.
For I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys are.